The light goes on here. I smile at arguments wherein the less that is known, the hotter the argument becomes. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I know you've all missed me. I've been away visiting my relatives, but I'm back now, and I'll be changing the dial of healing inspiration as soon as dinner is over, so you can get a new one for there, too. But for tonight, which is this morning, my subject is, I smile at arguments wherein the less that is known, the hotter the argument becomes. In traveling the world, it's so easy to walk by groups of people who are talking and sharing ideas, or hearing people from a store or from a house where the man and wife are sharing ideas together, each one becoming more vocal than the other. And you can be sure that it fits this, I smile at arguments, where the less that is known, the hotter the argument becomes. Whenever you hear people raising their voice, you know they don't have a good argument. You know they don't have a good stand on which to present their thought. And this is a very difficult thing, because people shout, and the more they shout, the less they really know what they're talking about. And it's really great, and it's called intimidation. It intimidates the listener to the point that the listener says, oh my God, you know, I guess they really must know what they're talking about. Well, I like it when I talk with people and we are talking in a modest, moderate tone, sharing ideas together. And if I disagree with you, I say, that's an interesting approach. And then I go on with my point of view. Or you listen to me and you say, you're full of beans, you know, you weren't around when they passed out the brains. What's the matter with you? You're stupid, stupid, stupid. And what they're merely saying is they're trying to get you edgy. Now, Ellen is a master at playing tennis. And Ellen used to play tennis semi-professionally in her group. And they would play in Lugano, Switzerland every day. She had nothing else to do but play tennis. And she played tennis morning, noon, and night. And when she would get ready to play tennis, she would go to her opponent and she would say, wow, this is my day to win. Thank you very much. And then she'd play. And her opponent would have this thought in her mind that Ellen was going to win, that this was predisposed. Well, of course, it was predisposed by Ellen. She put the cause in motion that she was going to win. And the other person, cooperatively said, I guess she's going to win. So she didn't put forth her best and her fullest effort. And when people don't put their best effort forward, they don't win. Now, was that nice of Ellen to go to that lady, and it's usually a lady tennis player who was playing with her, and say, you're going to lose? Well, this is what football teams do. They come dashing out onto the arena, and they're rah, 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 and the big-chested guys, you know, and the big helmets, and they look like they're tanks ready to roll over anything that's out on the field. And then the other team comes out, and they try to look bigger. Well, all they're doing is shouting louder and louder, I'm better than you are. And then the wimp, the little peanut, comes out there, and he's the one who wins the game. Because he's thinking, what is the best ploy to use to get around the end? What is the best way to handle these things? He's not going out there just putting on a big show of bulldozers. He puts on the show of the other. You look at your basketball players. And, well, let's look at Tiger Woods, our golfer. Tiger Woods is a little schnook of a kid, nothing at all. But he was born with a very wonderful blessing. He likes himself. He believes in himself. He believes that whatever he sets his mind to, he can do. And then when he started playing golf, he found his niche. And he put his concentration on his golf game. No matter how many people were shouting around the sides, and no matter how many people were mulling around, no matter all the hot breath that was going down his neck as he was making his moves, he was untouched. What he did was just to be at peace. He closed his eyes for a moment, We think, oh, he's praying. He's hoping he'll win. No, he's closing his eyes a moment. I'm at peace. And when his body was at peace, then what did Tiger Woods want to do? What did he want to do with his golf club? He wanted to hit the ball. He wanted to hit the ball with his golf club. Now, most people say, well, he was going to get out there and, you know, really ram those drives through and do these things. He was not. He thought of the ball. He addressed the ball, as the saying goes. He addressed the ball. He put his full attention on, now, ball, I want you to go 300 yards. I want you to go 200 yards. I want you to go right next to the hole and then just sort of roll to the right a little bit, because that's where the lie of the green is. And so that's what he did. And I say, oh my God, he can't be that good. Oh yes, he played the course before the big match. He didn't have that be his first time. He watched the lay of the green. He watched the lay of the runways and the fairways and how they are. And he knew what he was doing. Runways is my son's airplane stuff, you know. Fairways is the green, you know. But anyhow, fairways is on the golf course. But anyhow, so he watched how it was. But he didn't let people see him, you know, eyeing it out like this. He had his razor-sharp mind to just see the level, to see the ground, to see the lay. You know how some people can just look at a picture on a wall and say, hey, that's off? You say, it looks good to me. And you put a level on it, and it's just slightly off, because they have an eye for it. My wife is a terrible person that way. Just a terrible, terrible person. She has perfect pitch. And so when she plays the piano, she knows exactly how those notes are supposed to be done. And when I sing with her, me being a fabulous singer, she knows exactly when I'm off. And she tells me. And so that's a terrible thing, to be so perfect, unless you're going to apply it in your field very assiduously. Now, my wife applies it in her field very assiduously. Tiger Woods applies it in his field very assiduously. The basketball stars, sure, they're tall enough they can reach up there and set it in there without even jumping, but they don't do that. They shoot from center court. They shoot from side court. And the people who are coming at them, they don't care about them. They know that before those people are going to get to them, they're going to have that ball launched. And they have it in their mind going in the basket, not bouncing off the backboard, but going kerplunk right through the basket. They are not playing games hoping they can bounce it in, hoping they can slow it down and keep it on the top of the net. They put it right kerplunk, right through. This is being a genius. See, they don't shout loud. And when they've made their match, when they've put the ball in the hole with the putter, and when they've shot their shot, they don't say, how good I am. They say, yes. Yes, that was good concentration. That was good. And they don't say someone else was bad. They just say they were good. Now, do you think you'd like to play the game of life always winning? And the answer is yes. Now, how do you play the game of life always winning? You play the game of life always winning by always giving your very best. When you give your best, it doesn't matter whether you won or lost. You have given your best. And when you give your best, and totally, truly give your best, not just part of your best, but give your total best, you watch what happens. You are happy with your game. And when you're happy with your game, there's another little token that goes along with it. That's called winning. When you're happy with your game, you win. You win your game. When you're happy with yourself, you win in life. Now, our pet here was telling us that, is it true that metaphysicians can be rich people? Is it true that ministers can be rich people? And no, it's not true. Ministers cannot be rich people. Metaphysicians cannot be rich people. Rich people can be rich people. Rich people are people who have the consciousness of infinite abundance. It has nothing to do with metaphysics. It has nothing to do with ministers. It's a consciousness of wonderful abundance. Robert Schuller and his glass cathedral. You may have heard about him. He wanted this glass cathedral. It was worth millions and millions of dollars. Glass, just to make a big hall for him to talk in, you know? And it was his dream, and he saw it in his mind. He didn't want it so that he would take from some other things, but he wanted it as a dream, a fulfillment. It was a dedication, you might say, of his word to God, or whatever his dedication was. And the whole world donated money to him to build the glass cathedral. And while they were building the glass cathedral, do you think he was a poor man? No way. Do you think that his books sell like diamonds? Oh, you know it. Do you think that his son, who is following in his footsteps, is going to have a good time? If he follows his father's program. Now, what did his father do to be a rich man, Ellen?
Rich thinking.
He had a rich consciousness. He was rich thinking. Now, what is it going to take him, who is another Robert, to follow in his father's footsteps? Rich thinking. Now, Billy Graham has a son, and Billy Graham's son wants to follow in his father's footsteps. But no one can follow in the footsteps of Billy Graham, the great evangelist. All over the world he's known, and he packs them in. But how could he do this? He sees himself doing his very best for what he believes and sharing it with the very best of what he believes, and the people will come. Remember that movie that they made about the field? If you build it, they will come. If you build this football, basket, and baseball stadium, the people will come. And they came. So Billy Graham, he has a front team that goes out and say, Billy Graham's coming, the big man is coming, the man who will show you how to find God and how to find heaven and so forth right now. And the people come. They love it. They love that. But Billy Graham first believed in himself. Now, if his son believes in himself, you know what his son will do? His son will speak with conviction, speak with awareness from the word go. No matter to whom he speaks, whether it's one person or 1,000, he will speak with conviction of what it is he's teaching. He will not say, I wonder what the take's going to be tonight, you know, how much of an offering we're going to get. He never thinks, I wonder if we're going to pay the bill on this place. It's going to be a lot of money, you know, and having this 5,000-seat hall, and we're only about 4,000 people in there. I wonder if we'll make it. They'll make it. But you see, his father doesn't think that way. His father says, we must put speakers outside so those who cannot get in can hear too. And you see, then it's just a flooding mass of people that attend his functions. Now, do you believe in yourself, or are you going to just shout loud, I'm good, I'm good, come on everybody, listen to me, I'm good, you know? And people say, my goodness, if he has to shout that loud, he can't be very good. The chief executive, the CEO of a large corporation, and oftentimes the president too, but he will come into a meeting of his staff. And the staff will be chattering about different things. And then he'll listen, and he'll say, thank you for your observations. And he leaves the room. And they say, I wonder if he took mine. I wonder if he's interested in mine. Well, the man who doesn't wonder if he's interested knows that the boss has selected his idea. And the boss is going to do what he wants to do because he is already confident in his own decision-making power. That's what got him to the top. And he stays there. He stays there. He doesn't shout to, shut up, you guys. You're making too much noise in this meeting here. I can't hear yourself think, you know. Now let's have a little peace. Never say that. You know the school teachers? The school teachers, two classrooms right next door to each other. One school teacher walks into her schoolroom, and the students are all sitting quietly at their desk, even with their hands folded, you know. And the teacher walks in, good morning, class. Good morning, teacher. And the other teacher walks into the room, spitballs flying and shouting and hollering. And she says, all right, quiet down now, quiet down. Shut up. You know, the same age, the same class, the same. But the teacher didn't believe that, well, at first she didn't respect herself. if she had respected herself, her class would respect her. You see, you don't have to shout. You don't have to argue. You don't have to make yourself heard by much haranguing. Jesus said, do not be like the Pharisees. They stand on the street corner and they shout before the people. They already have their reward. The reward that will come to you, will go to the Father in secret, will come from your Father who sees in secret and rewards you openly. See, so this is not just religion, it's not just philosophy, it's not just psychology. It's the whole gambit on life. And if we can be a Tiger Woods and go out there with confidence, Ray Tiger, Ray Tiger, oh boy, and he looks at him, smiles, thank you, thank you. He doesn't say, you're damn right, you know. He just smiles and says, thank you. And then he goes to his ball and he puts it down and he takes a moment and listens within, and the guidance within says, this is how you're going to handle things. And his body just immediately moves into the posture most beneficial to putting the ball right where he wants to. And he keeps his eye on the ball. And as the ball lifts from the ground, his eye is on the ball. And he knows right where it's going to land. And it lands right where he wants it. And this is how we are. When we're a winner, when we believe in ourselves, when we live for ourselves and are a blessing to our world, all the world is lifted up when we are lifted up. Have a wonderful day, and know that I smile at arguments wherein the less that is known, the hotter the argument becomes. I smile at Tiger Woods and think how he listened within, and he knew he was a winner, and he is. I love you. I love you. I love you.